When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's so easy to be average. You know it as well as I know it. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player. We don't have enough great players. To hell with that! We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
Be proud of our young people in the classroom, in the community, and most especially, in 310 days, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
3 things. Number one, the team that hits the hardest and the longest, the team that starts the fastest, and the team is too damn smart to make mistakes.
If you take it to them, if you don't make mistakes, and you keep taking it to them, hell, there's no question who will win.
Best Buckeye Podcast, by fans, for the fans, where they hate that team up north as much as you do. It's time for the OHIO Podcast. OH!
What is up, Buckeye Nation? Welcome to the Buckeye Boys, where we talk about Buckeye football with real fans. I'm Devin. This is my co-host, Mello. We're excited for our first live show. First thing I want to say is you might have to bear with us a little bit. First time doing this. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to talk about the season. And the Akron game and the roster that we have. And that was our plan coming into this show tonight. But obviously, as Ohio State fans, we know what dropped today, the infamous Sign Stealer documentary on Connor Stallions on Netflix. I watched it. I watched it this morning. And that's what everybody's talking about. So, we're going to hit that a little bit before we get started. And all I have to say is, obviously, first off, Mello, let me get your thoughts on what did you expect the documentary to be like? Not what was it, what was your expectations for the documentary?
So my expectation was him to fall on the sword and say no one knew. Anything was going on. There was no coach involvement. Michigan had nothing to do with it. And it was, he was a lone wolf, and that he didn't do anything illegal and that everybody else did it. The typical blame somebody else when you get caught with your hand in a cookie jar.
Yeah.
And I just mean, to let you know, I only saw about half of it. So is that basically what happened, or was it something different?
It wasn't so much like – that got mentioned. That got mentioned in there, right? That he wrote, his attorney wrote a letter saying nobody else knew, but that they pretty much said that they did that to because he liked Michigan football so much. But no, the documentary was basically him telling everybody how smart and genius he was, right? And this is my take on it. And how he really didn't do anything wrong. Like, so watching this thing, you saw a side of this Stallions dude that you thought was there, but you didn't know the level at which it was there until you saw this thing. And the scene in the documentary that really got me when I was like, wow, this dude is lost. He's gone, dude, is when the camera's facing towards his computer screen, and it shows a map. This dude had mapped out all the drafts from the NFL, college players going into the draft, and he mapped the location of it, right? And he started by saying, for instance, this is one of my programs I created for recruiting. And then he stopped, looked over at the camera, and said, I'm not going to give this away for free. This is a competitive advantage, right? And he goes into how this thing's going to work and how if one day he gets the opportunity, he's going to be using this and he will succeed better than anybody else. And that's when I'm sitting there thinking, like, dude, you don't think that other people have recruiting figured out by now? You know what I mean? And that's the thing. When he starts to go into this sign stealing stuff, he says that he got the signs by watching all 22 film and watching the games on live TV. So this dude is sitting here saying on a documentary that the only one in college football, he just found out that you can watch the games on TV and steal the signs. And I'm just like, dude, you know, I honestly didn't even get emotional watching it because just based off all the information and how that team up north is reacting to all this, I kind of expected it. You know what I mean? I expected something like this, but I did not expect the severity at which he literally thinks he is smarter than anybody that has ever coached in college football. He still thinks he's got a shot at being a head coach one day, right? I mean, so yeah, dude. Yeah, I got a little something else to say on it, but I want to get your thoughts on what I just said right there. Absolutely. Was basically the context behind it.
I saw that first part with the map because that was kind of early in the documentary. And the whole thing I was thinking is like, you're not going to give it away, dude. You already gave it away. If nobody was using that, they're just going to go ahead and start plotting their own. Like, yeah. This is not ingenious. You know, yeah. I think he's a narcissist. I think he's delusional. I think he came from a weird family. I saw the part where he was like 7 and he dressed up as Bo for Halloween. Who does that? Who wants to be a coach when they're 7? Everybody, when I was 7, I wanted to go to the NBA. I wanted to go in the NFL. Yeah. I didn't want to be a coach. Who thinks about that? Like, yeah. His entire family is weird. They're a bunch of weirdos, and he's a bozo.
Yeah. The thing that got me to kind of read deeper into it is they finally brought up the CMU thing, and they asked Connor, they said, was this you on the sideline? And they handed him a picture that, you know, that everybody's seen, the picture of him in glasses, goatee, hat, at night on the CMU game. He literally puts it up to side by side. When he puts it up side by side, he made it even more obvious that it was him. And he looks over at it and he's got this little smart A smirk on his face. And he says, I don't even think this looks like me. And so he does that. But dude, this was the icing on the cake for me. And I don't know if I'm reading into this wrong or whatnot, but hold on. Before I get there, I got to back up. So,
okay.
He goes in at the end of the show. They show where he's being interviewed by the NCAA. Now, he just got done saying they put the picture beside himself and he said, I don't think that looks like me. Well, in the interview, it shows him being asked, Connor, were you on the sidelines of that game that night? And this is this dude's response. That he doesn't remember if he was there or not. Now, let's back up. This is a dude that earlier in the documentary said that he takes pictures of himself doing signs and memorizes all of them. And that's how he steals these signs when he goes to the game, because he took like 10,000 pictures of himself, memorizes them, and he can't remember whether he was at the CMU game or not. Like, bruh, get out of here, dude. You know what I mean? But also in that interview, he said something that to me was the check mark, dude. It was the, bro, I feel like right after that interview, I feel like the NCAA was like, yes, we got him. Because here's what he said.
Yeah.
He said that he did. He did give tickets to friends, okay? And they did send him videos of the games they were at. He said that to them. So he admitted that. And as a coach, as a hired staff of Scum, that's an NCAA violation right there, right? And unless he admitted that he received videos from the friends that he gave tickets to be a good dude. And then he later explained it as in saying, yeah, I received those videos, but it's like getting a present from your aunt or grandma or somebody that you already had and you opened it and you got to act surprised. He said, I already had their signs. I didn't need it. They were sending me the videos trying to help me to decipher the signs. That's pretty much what the dude said. And this whole time, bro, I'm just like, oh, bro, you just did yourself in, man. You know what I mean? So
I have a question.
Yeah.
One, if they send you signs and you don't need it as a friend, it's not a Christmas present. You're going to be like, I don't need this. I already have all this, right? Like, I think that's what a normal human would do. Number two, who paid for these tickets? How did you get these tickets on your salary? You weren't getting cheap tickets. And you went to what, over 52 games?
Yeah, dude.
So you're talking close to like 100,000? You don't even make that in a year.
Yeah. It was intense.
He's just lying through his teeth. And the thing about it that pisses me off, being a military guy, is that he discredits all armed forces in the services, and he lost all his integrity. He literally broke one of the biggest things that every soldier, sailman, airman, and Marine believes in, and that's integrity. Yeah. And he broke it, he lost it, and he's a disgrace. And what kind of bozo joins the military because he wants to be a college coach?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was looking up to Coach K and all them, but like, there's other routes to go be a college coach. Easier paths.
There was that rumor out there too that he was in intelligence in the military, right? That was his part of his job duty, was he worked in intelligence. Well, it came out in the documentary. He said it. He was in logistics, not intelligence. And I did see on one of, I think it was on Scoop, on the message board, somebody that had been in the military clearly laid out that if this dude was in logistics, that he had no part in deciphering any type of military signals or anything. Logistics has nothing to do with that. Now, I have no experience in that. I don't know. Right. So I'll take that dude's word on it that, you know, that he had no problem with that. But
no, he's right.
Mecca wanted to know what my hat was. I got this hat at a golf course somewhere. It's just it's a random hat. Nothing too crazy about it. It's one of my favorites. It's just a bull with a little lumberjack there. So that's it, Mecca. That's all I got for you. Nothing crazy. I just wanted to switch it up tonight. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it looks clean though.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Moving on. Right. Unless you got anything else to say about that, I guess we'll have a little closing statement on it. I do believe what is being reported that they will have vacated wins, bowl bans, recruiting restrictions, all that stuff. I do not believe the excuse of, you know, they move the needle in the media and, you know, they make so much money that nothing's going to happen. I'm not into that, dude. College football is going to make tons of money with or without them going to bowl games or any of that. So I still think they're getting hammered. Right. I think this documentary would just made them look even worse. So what about you, Mello?
I think the same thing. I mean, they stopped us from postseason ban, and we're the biggest brand in college football, period. Regardless of where you're at. So yeah, they're definitely going to get hammered. There's no doubt. They want to send a message. They're pissed off that the way that Michigan responded to the allegations in the first place, how they handled the entire situation, Jim Harbaugh's arrogance and the lack of respect for the institution. And they don't want anyone else doing it. And they know they're going out. Eventually it's going to be a two conference team program for football. And they're going to be obsolete. So they're going to go out with a bang. And Michigan's going to feel the full force and brunt of that bang.
Yeah. I even hear some Ohio State fans say that, and I can kind of understand why they say it, that they think that Scum's going to be pretty good this year. I'm at the very, very, very opposite end of that. I don't care how good their four or five dudes are that are coming back on defense, right? Couple things there. That's only four or five of them. What is it? Four or five? How many returning defensive starters? Four. Whatever. But so you got that. They're the 127th out of 134 in returning production, and that's just for on-field players. But all the coaches, man. You know, so anyway, I'm excited to get past this thing, get back into some football, bro. And like the comment says, it's almost game day, baby. And I'm pumped, dude. What about you, Mello?
Absolutely. I'm super pumped. And one last thing. They're already experiencing the injury bug. Mason Graham got hurt. He's banged up right now. And that's their best player on the entire team.
Yeah.
They lose him. They're winning 7 games max. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yes, I'm very excited this weekend. I can't wait to see the game plan and how we looking. I want to see the quarterback play. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to get into the quarterback in a minute. I just want to shout out Doreen in the chat. Larry, I saw her in the chat. Blue Wolverines in the chat. Mecca, yes, that was me that texted you. We're going to do a recruiting show. We know you're obsessed with Ohio recruits. I love it. Going to try to get you on here. That was me that texted you. I see Travis in there. So everybody watching, man, we appreciate you. Hit that like button, man. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Get in that chat. Donald and Karen in there. Emily, how y'all doing, man? Get in that chat. We want this show to be interactive, right? So if you're in the chat, if you got something to say, man, I got it pulled up. I'm watching it. We want it to be more interactive. So once me and Mello get done saying what we got to say about each group, if I see something in there, I'm going to pull it up, man. We want to interact with y'all. So that's kind of the point behind the lives, and that's like where we want to get. But, yeah, Mello, quarterback play. I'm excited for quarterback play. Will Howard, saw his press conference today, man. He got up. He said he is humbled. He doesn't take it lightly that he is the starting quarterback at Ohio State. Since I heard about that we might possibly bring him in, I started watching film on the dude. My opinion has never changed. I'm not one of those fans that has warmed up and now think he's going to be good. I have always thought he was going to be good. I've watched a lot of football, never played it or anything, not a coach or anything, but I've just watched a lot of football and I've studied a lot of football. And I just saw something special in the kid, man. And I think that I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, dude. He said, I mean, he even said today that the talent he's around, but the main thing that got me excited in his press conference was how he said the coaching is different, about how some of the things he has learned from the coaching. And then to my next point about the quarterbacks, this is going to go against, I know what you think, and I know what several other things, but I believe Devin Brown will be the number two backup quarterback the entire year. I don't think, you know, I'm excited for saying, think he's a really good quarterback. Devin Brown, this is his third year, man. Knows the plays, knows all this. I'm not sure where's that time going to come into play for saying to get that experience to pass Devin Brown as the number two quarterback. I've never seen saying, so it's really hard for me to say I would be comfortable him coming in the Oregon game as the backup quarterback. So I wanted to put that out there. I've never heard anybody else say it. I always hear everybody say they think he's going to be number two by this date or whatever. I'm not on that boat. I think he'll start next year. I think by the time he's got that experience, weight room and all that, he's going to be a beast. But, you know, that's just my thoughts. What about your thoughts?
So, I mean, I could understand wholeheartedly why you feel that way. I mean, Coach Day just said that Devin Brown is QB2.
Yeah.
So you have a valid point, but we really haven't seen Devin Brown much besides running the ball and getting injured. So I think if Julian Sand does it surpass him, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and this is my hot take, I think Aaron Nolan will start next year.
Oh, shoot, bro. Better be
careful. That's where I'm at with it. I think Air's starting next year.
Hey, dude, here's the thing. As much as we fans think we know, we don't know. You know what I mean, bro?
Like, for sure.
This is college football we're talking about. Stuff changes on the drop of a dime, bro. You're looking – we're sitting here. We're so fanatic about our Buckeyes that we don't know. I mean, we want to just always talk about best case scenarios. Who's going to be on the team next year? Who's going to start? Dude, I got news for you, man. Our players are going to be throwing them bags after the year, bro. I would be surprised if somebody says, yo, JJ, bro, I'll give you $3 million cash right now. You come on up over here. Now, we're not going to get into that. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody's going to leave once we win the Natty this year and all that stuff. But I'll say on the point that you said, bro, Aaron Nolan, I'm sorry, but to say that he doesn't have just as much potential as saying right now, you can't say that. Nobody can actually say that. You know what I mean? That he's a kid. Saying is a kid. We have no idea how they're going to react to the situations they're put in and what's going to happen in their life. So, yeah, man, I feel you there. But, bro, let's move on to
Mika
the next
Mika agrees
group.
With me, by the way.
You want me to put that up there? Here we go.
Yeah, Mika agrees.
Boom. Like yeah, dude, a lot of people, Air's been brushed under the rug, and I don't know, you know, why. I mean, to be fair, Lincoln's been pushed under the rug, too. And I'm just not on that train of – we don't know what these kids are going to do. They might get a new fire up under them and everything, you know, everything, changes. Oh, dude, I forgot this. Hold on. Let me see.
Tyler's comment.
Oh yeah. Tyler's comment. I'm not sure if you talk about the same thing, but I will say that it was hilarious in the documentary. They said that Connor said he didn't remember it was him, and then it goes right over to that. I think his name's Dave Pointnor, the Barstool dude or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he said, yeah, it was him. Connor told me it was him at the game, dude. So that cat's totally out of the bag now, too. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so you got anything else about the quarterbacks, dude? You know what I mean? I think –
I think they're gonna have a good year. I just want to see Will stay healthy so that way we can maximize our potential along with the rest of our team.
Amen. Well, Mello, you start talking about the next one. Let's go with running back next. Tell me, what's your thoughts there and all that.
I think Trey takes the first snap, but I think it's going to be pretty balanced. And matter of fact, I'm going to change that. I think they're both going to start. I think we start in 20 personnel for the first play of the game.
You think
At the same time, I could also – That's what I would do. So that way it ends the whole debate. Who's playing the first snap? You know, you could just both of them playing the first snap. But I could also see them trying to save that for down the road. But I would just do it just so that way it doesn't cause any friction down the road. But I do think if it goes to one player, then it's going to be Trey. He's going to take the first snap. And they're going to split carries evenly. And I think they're both going to have a monstrous game. I think our receivers are going to have a monstrous game. I think we're going to put up crazy, ridiculous numbers. I think we're going to get a lot of takeaways on defense. So we'll get some extra possessions that way, because I noticed that in the FSU and Georgia Tech game, they only had 25 possessions the entire game, both teams. So that's not a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, did that rule change this year after first down, the clock keeps running? Was that a this year thing? Did that start last year? That was this year?
Yeah. And a 2-minute warning.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
So who you think takes the first snap at running back?
To be honest, I have no idea. If I had to guess, it would be Trey. You know what I mean? He's been there. Mm-hmm. I think like seniority wise, they're going to give it to him. But I don't think either of those running backs care who gets the first snap. They both know they're going to be studs. They're both going to be high round draft picks. They both got the team on their they keep talking about that, the culture of this team. And a lot of the times it's just like, of course they're going to say that. They're not going to say anything bad out there about, the culture of the team. But still, normally when they do the player interviews and stuff, you can look at a kid and see his facial expression and see that what he's saying, he doesn't really mean. I haven't seen that, man. I think the culture is what they say it is. I think it's fantastic. I think everybody gets along. I think the QB room is what they say it is, that they all support each other. There's no bad feelings. I think, Trey, Henderson does feel that way about Quinshon. He loves his brother. And the biggest piece of evidence I have about all this, man, is Jesus, bro. Look how much the team, like, they have the baptisms, they wear the Jesus One shirt, they do all this stuff, man. So, yes. You know, I know what the culture, I know what a culture of living for Jesus looks like. And it looks like that. It looks like lifting your brother up, helping your neighbor out, right? Putting them first. And it's a more success of whole than it is individual. So the other thing about the running backs
and to stay
today,
right there.
Yeah. What's up?
Just to stay right there, I just want to make a quick point. So with their whole faith-centric approach to their everyday way of life, I think you're going to see it play out on the field. Everything they're doing is for the glorification of God and his name. And you're going to see it play out on the field, and they'll be shocked when God uses them to elevate them, to bring, you don't know how many people they're going to save that look up to them, you know?
Amen. And I don't think, like, I know what living for Jesus does for me and the motivation that it gives me sometimes. That's a big deal, man. When you got a team that shares their faith and they preach their faith, which the best way to preach is to not use any words, walk it out. That's what they do, man. They walk it out. And don't underestimate that, man. But Day said today in his press conference that officially James Peoples, number three quarterback, that was pretty cool, kind of something we knew already. So I'm not concerned with the depth at running back. I think that you got Sam William Dixon. You got the walk-on, what's his name, Rashid something maybe. But then you got our boy Old Downs. Bring him in there if you need him. You got dude, I'm not worried about the depth. So are you worried about the depth at all at running back?
I mean, a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little worried, but I know we could do it. I don't want to see Caleb Downs over there unless it's an emergency, but I think they're going to have to throw him a bone because they've already been talking about it. They use it in a recruiting process, and he clearly wants it. So, I mean, I'm definitely worried a little. I'm going to be honest, because we've seen the past 2 years what the lack of depth will do. Think about the Peach Bowl. We had Xavier Johnson, and we had a tight end in the backfield playing running back.
Yeah. You see that comment I pulled
crazy
up there? You see that comment I pulled up from our boy Chris? Chris,
I see it now.
In the chat now, Russ is. Yeah, dude, Chris, bro, that was exciting. I heard that. Dude, you put Chip and Drevno up there. I think there's four offensive coaches in the box, dude. I love to hear that, man. And then Day's explanation of it was – totally correct, man. Up there, you got a desk. You can organize your stuff, organize your thoughts. And then with the helmet communication this year, you got to be organized, man. That thing's shutting off 15 seconds before. Ryan Day keeps bringing that up. So clearly, it's something that they are a little bit worried about. Because you think about it, I think they're going to have to change things up. And it's going to increase the tempo because, you know, you got to get that play called in. You got to get it down to the offense. They're going to huddle. They're going to run up to the line, and that's going to be the first time they see how the defense lines up. So if you do that and it's at 15 seconds, who's it on to change the offense if the defense lines up in some crazy way? It's on the quarterback, man. So that's something they're going to work out and figure out. But the next group I want to talk about, wide receivers, man. Today it's official. You know, they said J.J., he's going to start the Akron game. What's your thoughts on that?
Man, Optimus Prime has to start. And I told Sean, me and Sean had a little wager that Optimus was going to start from snap one, day one. He was like, no, he's going to play. He's not starting from the first snap. And I'm like, Sean, he's starting first snap. He's that good. He is legit. And I can't wait for him to announce his presence to the world Saturday at 3:30 p.m. It's going to be an amazing sight to see. I already know that it's going to be – well, I feel it's going to be Carnell Tate and Emeka as the other two starters.
Yeah. Dude, the thing that's been sticking out to me the last, like, 3 weeks, man, is, okay, so we got our starters. Let's name them out. We got J.J. Smith, Emeka Ibuka, Carnell Tate. They're starting. Day keeps insisting, Brandon Ennis, you might as well throw him in that starter group. And I would agree. Everybody would agree. But who's next? You got Bryson Rogers. You got Jalen Ballard. Those were always the obvious answers. Can Jalen step up, do what he needs to do? He's been here forever. Or is he going to do his thing this year? But how about Kojo Antwi, man? Ryan Day, this is the second press conference in a row he's brought that dude up. So I love that, bro. I love hearing that, man. That is, how many is that now that they brought up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 receivers, you know, that it seems that the coaches are confident can get in there and play. And, dude, I'm pumped about that.
That's pretty deep. That's deep.
Oh, yeah, you can't forget about
this, dude. I'm happy for Kojo being down. He's from Gwinnett County, so I'm rooting for him. I just don't know how much of a big-time presence he's going to make. I want to see what Mylon Graham's going to do and how they're going to use him. Our wide receiver depth is pretty deep. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you see I brought up Mylon Graham there. They talk about him too. Day in his press conference, not this one, but the last one, said that pretty much alluded to the fact that he can see Mylon getting in the rotation about 4 to 5 games into the season. He obviously came in a little bit later than the rest of the receivers. So Bobby wants to know how many wide receivers do you think will rotate? We can back it up. How many of our depth do we actually think is going to rotate? That got brought up today in the press conference. Ryan Day admitted that in the past, he's done some things wrong in that regard. He also said he's done some really good things, but he thinks that some things need to change this year. Now, have we heard that before? Yes.
Absolutely.
We've heard it before. You know what I mean? But a few things are different this year. Well, mainly one, Chip Kelly, I think, is going to help out in that regard. So how many wide receivers do you think will rotate this year, Melo?
And are we talking about just one game or throughout the season?
Let's go throughout the season. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking – let's go rotate in big-time games. Let's not rotate at the end for the scrap minutes. How many actual rotators are we going to have?
I think 5 max.
You think Ennis 5?
And I think Bryson Rogers will enter the rotation on a regular basis. Okay. Outside of that, I don't see it. They're going to always have either one of Emeka, Carnell, or Jeremiah on the field at all times.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 5. Yeah. I think they're going to rotate a little bit more just because of the length of the season. They know they're chasing a goal of winning the Natty and winning every game. So try to keep people fresh, keep the players fresh. So I think he's going to absolutely rotate for the first time, even though he says it every year. But I don't see a regular rotation past 5.
Yeah. Hey, chat, let me hear. What is your optimum number of wide receivers that will rotate? If it was a perfect world, you heard the list of receivers that we have, you know the depth that we have. How many would you want to see in actual rotation this year? Melo, I'm going to go with 6, but not because I believe it, because that's what I want and that's what I think it should be. I think we need to have 6 receivers going in and out, and I think you're going to have that battle of Jaden Ballard and Kojo Antwi of which one of those guys is going to grab a hold of this thing, make a difference on special teams, and earn a playing spot. So, yeah, that's my
You got to pick one. I'm putting you on the spot. Pick one between the two. Who's the 6? Between those two, and I'm going to throw Mylon Graham in there.
Bro, Jalen. Oh, you're throwing Mylon Graham in there?
Yeah, between those two. So I got to pick between those three. Who's the 6th position?
Mylon Graham. That's who I want. Who do I think is?
I agree with you.
God, bro, that's a hard question. But I want Mylon Graham. He's the future. You know what I mean? Too. Jaden Ballard.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that, but. Anyway, so chat's saying 6. 6 for sure. I say 6 also. Donald, 6. Oh, wait, I got to click.
Who's the 6 that you think going to make it in the rotation, chat? I need to hear it. Let's get some names. Name them. Now,
Chris said 6. Eric, he's watching as well. Hyopod thinks he got out of the show. He did not. We need your 6 too, Eric, in the chat. He tried to get out of it. Russ. All right, let's hit up tight ends, dude. Nobody asked about tight ends in the press conference today, unless I missed it, dude. Nobody asked Ryan Day about it. I was like, are y'all kidding me? That's the one spot where we're like, crazy. What's going on? Nobody asked him. Anyway, So obviously you got Will Kaczmarek. Ryan Day did allude in his last press conference that he would be the starter. I can't tell you. I don't remember him doing that, but I know that's what all the reporters are reporting on, that he alluded that Will Kaczmarek is going to be the starter. But then you got G. He's out there. You got Bennett Christian. You got Patrick Gerd. And then you got, obviously, our boy that we all want to see in there. What's his name, Melo?
Jelani Big Time Thurman.
Jelani Big Time Thurman. Old Big Time. And we got Optimus Prime. We got Will Oppenheimer. And we got Jelani Big Time. I like it, dude. I like you always doing
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. So we got... let's see. Russ answered the call. He said, JJ, Emeka, Carnell. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, Russ threw 7 in there. He didn't want to choose on that last spot like I had to. He just threw 7.
I think he got Kojo as the 7th.
Yeah, he did. Okay. There we go. He went with Graham. Me and Eric on the same page there. Hey, I noticed on that last show that I didn't get to attend on a lot of the predictions. Me and Eric were on the same wavelength on like a lot of that stuff.
And me and JR were.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy. Yeah, yeah, that was. All right, back to the tight ends. Yeah, obviously, dude, bro, I want to see Jelani step it up this year. I want to see him on the field. I do think that Will Kaczmarek, at least that's the hope, that he's coming in to being a blocker. I'm not sure why everybody thinks he was brought in as a blocking tight end. I mean, let me back up. That he was a blocking tight end. He was more of a receiving tight end at OU. So I don't know where this got brought up. Maybe because of, you know, the size of him. People looked at his size and automatically thought, oh, he must be a really good blocker. He was a good blocker, but he was mainly a receiving tight end at OU. But I've heard good things about him. But I think my sneaking suspicion on, I think we're going to see a lot of tight ends this year, man. I think you're going to – now, who's the one that got – no, it was Bennett Christian was suspended all last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's right. When I saw Patrick Gerd's interview, something about the way he was talking and the fire that he had, I think I want to see that dude on the field, bro. I want to see him come in, knock some people's heads off on blocking because he kept saying that. He kept talking about how much he wants to block, dude.
He's going to run through your face.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing with Will Kaczmarek being the blocking tight end is probably because he's the best blocker out of all the tight ends that everybody saw. So they're just assuming, and which is not always a good thing. I'm hoping Jelani can put the whole complete package because he has the biggest upside by far. He's a mismatch. He's a nightmare. And I hope he puts it together. We really need him.
Yeah. Yeah, we do need him. I mean, Day said it several times. The tight end position, you know, take the quarterback out of the game. I mean, that's the next position on the field where you got to know everything, right? You got to know how to run routes. Right. You got to know blocking schemes. And to know the blocking schemes, you got to know what the defense is doing. So can you imagine like trying to prep for a game as a tight end? You're in everybody's room. You're in the receiver's room. You're in the DB's room. You're trying to figure out the linebackers room, you know what I mean? You got to know what they're doing. You got to watch the other linebackers on the opposing defense and see, hey, what's their tendencies here? What's their pattern? Because if I got to block one of them dudes, I got to know what's going on. So
you got to read the keys. You got to be in an O-line room.
Yeah. The thing I do love, man, again, you're going to hear me bring this up a lot, but Chip Kelly, dude, I think Chip Kelly's going to take care of that tight end room. I mean, I love Keenan Bailey and all that. I don't really, but I think I got to say that because I like Ohio State, but.
No, you got to say that because he can recruit.
Yeah.
We know how it is when you can't recruit.
Yeah. You're darn right, man. I think that's number one for coaches anymore. You got plenty of developers in a whole other show. Yeah, I think Chip Kelly's going to hold him accountable. It's going to hold the receivers accountable, tight ends accountable for blocking. You heard it. Everybody knows the story. Got on Brian Hartline, and you know, since he got on Brian Hartline went in that wide receiver room and said, look, guys, look what's happened. When you guys don't block, look what happens to me. I'm good to y'all. I care about y'all. I try to coach you best I can every day, and then you leave me hanging like that, make me look bad. Hopefully, same going on in the tight end room. So, yeah, I think that's a position where somebody is going to solidify more of a powerful role, whether that's Will or G or Jelani. But I think we're going to see a lot of rotation until then. All right, final group on offense. Probably the one I'm most excited to talk about, believe it or not. Offensive line, man. I'll let you start on your thoughts. The news we heard today about the offensive line. Take it home.
I like that Tegra is going to be the starting right guard. Imagine Tegra coming off and he's 6'6", 330 pounds as your starting right guard. That's going to be a scary sight to opposing D lines. And also, the only thing that I am nervous about is we heard that Donnie got banged up with a hamstring, and I wouldn't push it for him to play in Akron, especially being that big, and hamstrings are very tricky. I experienced it with my daughter, and she was 115 pounds, and they're so easy to aggravate. So imagine a 300-plus pound lineman. So I think they're going to have Carson Hensman start at left guard. You're going to have Simmons at left tackle. You're going to have Seth at center. You're going to have Tegra at right guard, and you're going to have Josh Fryer at right tackle.
Please don't put Justin Fry in.
Hey, if we put him in, maybe he'll decide to recruit, though. He'll be like, I can't do this. I need to go ahead and recruit some better linemen, right? Go to the fire. But, yeah, get Fryer in there, and I think that's a elite O-line, and they can hold it down until Donnie gets back.
Yeah. Bro, look at this, man. Old CW calling me out, dude. Busted, bro. He busted me.
What's up, C-Dub?
What up? Hey, good night, Doreen. Doreen says she's out. She's bouncing.
Good night, the queen.
Yeah. It's Copenhagen, C-Dub, but I was trying to make it look like I'm just taking a drink, but clearly that's out in the open now. It's over. Whatever, man. what we're talking about? Offensive line. Yeah. So,
yes.
Beginning of the year, obviously, everybody's like, that was a position in question, rightfully so. Everybody knows the Missouri game, all that. But the reports that we saw coming out of the winter with, Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer and, Josh Fryer getting Iron Buckeye and all that stuff, it just kept building and building. It wasn't like this one day they got really good. No, just a slow build. A lot of them changed their bodies. Josh Simmons changed his body. Josh Fryer changed his body. We brought in center from Alabama, Seth, who Day said he was the most consistent O-lineman that they've had. So I'm excited to see them. There's one area that you said that I would have a slight disagreement with, and that's that, first off, yeah, the Donnie being injured thing. I still think he's going to run out there and start, but I do agree that I don't think he's going to play very much. Why risk it? You shouldn't risk it. I could totally be wrong there. Might not start. But I've been hearing a lot about Austin Saraveld getting in there and taking his spot at left guard. So we'll see what happens. Day said in his press conference today that we're going to see a lot of offensive linemen in that game. And I hope we're right. Why not give him the opportunity? And I do think in a sneaky type of way, I think that in this game, the offensive line will kind of be tested. I know Akron has a D-tackle that's pretty darn good. So I think he might be one of the better players on their team. So I'm interested to see that. I'm interested to see. I don't think it's going to be one of those. Our offensive line can go over there and just, walk all over their D-line. So
And that's what you want, though. You want a slight test, man. You don't want whole caboodle right at the start, but you want a little test. You want to see what – let them get a little work and beat up on somebody that's not just a pushover and isn't freaking Ty Leak or Ty Hamilton.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and build this chemistry and get ready for the long natty season that we're about to go on.
Yeah. I like that. Here's Donald brought up Day and Chip need to stay with an O-line so they can gel, dude. I'm big on that, man. I know Kirk Barton over there on Scoop, dude, he used to preach about how they're a unit, man. Better than any other unit on the field. Like they have to gel together. They have to work together as a team. But when you're not you know, in the spring, giving them that opportunity to do so, they're not going to do that. And last year was the same thing. That is one area that is kind of getting to me a little bit. It's like, okay, so you named the starting quarterback a little earlier than last year, giving him that time to come in, get comfortable, learn the offense, get comfortable with the players, all that. But we're still dealing with this with the offensive line. As of yesterday, because today, Tegra got named the starting right guard for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I missed that one. I got that one wrong. My money was on Carson Hensman because I know through speaking with several people that know the team very closely that Carson is a very smart player, hence the reason he played center last year. And the fact that Tegra beat him out, y'all better watch out, man. I think we might have a serious, serious weapon on our hands with Tegra. Mello, what's his height and weight, man? That dude, 6'6", what? 3 what?
330. Ooh. 330.
Hey, Chip said, what
he's going to move some D tackles.
Yeah, dude, what do big people do to little people, Mello?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They push him away around.
They beat him up, dude. That's a Chip said.
They're going to need him for Kenneth Grant, though, because that's a big man. That's going to be a good battle down there
at the end
of the season.
Yeah. So yeah, man, excited for Tegra. You know, excited to see that. Overall, man, I think that our offense is going to be just fine. I think that you're bringing in Chip Kelly. You bring back this senior leadership. You're bringing in a new scheme with Chip Kelly. You're bringing in Ryan Day not having to be a head coach and be a play caller. You've heard it in all his press conferences, how it's changed, how hard it was for him to get the next set of downs ready when he's sitting there trying to worry about all these other things. So I think overall, man, you know, you're bringing in Will Howard, who – you know, everybody's nitpicking him with his downfield passing. Well, he said it in his press conference today as well. He's got a little bit different weapons around him. You know what I mean? These receivers, if they're covered tightly only by one person, he considers them wide open.
They're open.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, let's get it. So yeah, dude, overall excited for the offense. How about you, Mello? What's your overall thoughts for our offense this year?
Well, I think we're going to have the number one offense in the country. We're going to have the number one offense in America. I think Will's going to be surprising for people. I do think Will's going to win the Heisman. I think his numbers are going to be go through the roof, and it's going to show how elite of a QB developer Ryan Day truly is. And then look for one of those top dogs in the 26th class, maybe Jared Curtis, to flip it.
Yeah.
That's my bold prediction right now.
Okay. All right. I do want to apologize to the chat real fast. Anybody watching, you see me sitting here moving around, looking like I'm sitting on a pile of hot coals. It's because I hurt my lower back pretty bad, so I always got to move around. So forgive me for that. But, yeah, man, excited for the offense. Also excited for the defense, man. Jim Knowles got up there today. Had the normal Jim Knowles press conference where it looks like he's just not excited at all to be there. Sometimes I wonder,
right?
You know, when I was watching him talk today, you know what my question was? How does he talk faster during the games? Like, how long does it take this dude to call in a defensive play? That was my question, dude. I gotta know.
Right.
Does he use
Well, he keeps it short. If you look, Joe Klatt was talking to him on the sideline and he was calling in plays during the spring game, but he has like two-word phrases for his play calling. So that helps.
Yeah. Hey, before me and Mello start giving our thoughts on the defense, chat, I need to know, who is your defensive MVP for Ohio State? Now, I don't mean who would other people vote for. I mean, who are you? who do you think is going to have the biggest impact on defense this year on that side of the ball for our team? And when me and Mello go through these groups, I'll reveal mine. I know the last show you already did that, Mello, but we'll just do it again here. I'll reveal mine when we get to his group. But Mello, where you want to start first?
You kind of worded it differently than what it was on the last show, so my answer is going to be different. So at the last show, I said I think Cody Simon is going to win the MVP of the defense just because linebackers are in more plays. He's going to have more tackles. He's going to force more fumbles, have more sacks. Who I think is going to have the biggest impact on defense is clearly Caleb Downs for me. Caleb Downs has changed everything. He let Sonny go back to his natural position. And as you heard from Jim Knowles today, we have three starters that he considers ones at linebackers, but only play two because of the formation we're in. You have Cody, you have Sonny, and you have Hicks. So by just having Caleb Downs here, it changed the whole overall defense, and I think our linebackers are going to be flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I do as well. Do you want to just go ahead and start with linebackers on what our thoughts are there?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, dude, this is another one of those position groups that – you know, if we're honest with ourselves, in the beginning of the year, a lot of people had a lot of questions, man. You know what I mean? Didn't see a lot of Cody Simon last year. As fans were like, why was that? You know what I mean? Seems like he did pretty darn good. Are we missing something? Is there something behind the scenes we're not seeing as to why he didn't play? Mm-hmm. Sonny Styles was a safety. We're like, why hasn't he moved down the linebacker yet? Well, then he did move down. Then everybody's like, well, that's closer to the ball. Is he going to be able to read it right? CJ Hicks, 5-star. Why has he not seen the field yet? If he was a 5-star, Arvell Reese, Gabe Powers. Who am I missing? I'm missing some. No, I'm not. That was it. But now you look at where we're at, and all you're hearing coming out of the Woody is like really, really good things. It seems like Arvell Reese just boom flew out of nowhere. You know what I mean? With backing up Cody Simon, yeah. Cody Simon, block O, captain, you know, on the top 10 athletically on most categories on the team, green dot dude, like just absolute superstar, man. Very excited to see him this year. Sonny Styles solidified that starting position today. Ryan Day said it. We all knew it, but, you know, he solidified it. You know, Arvell Reese, Gabe Power has been talked about. You know, what was interesting to me is that CJ Hicks was picking up some steam. Like there was a minute there where everybody was like, is it going to be Sonny or CJ? Sonny or CJ? Sonny or CJ?
Right.
Well, the last month, it's been all Sonny. I haven't really heard too many people talking about CJ. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Coach Knowles talked about him today. He flat out asked him about safety. Yeah, they asked him about the safety depth and if they thought that the backups would be able to rotate with Caleb and Latham. And he said, no, there's like if it's a important down, like there's a clear how he decides playing time. There's a clear division and separation between the two. He said there's no separation between the three linebackers and that you're going to see Sonny playing Mike sometimes next to CJ.
Well, DJ Mello will be back. There he is. Mello, we lost. Yeah, we lost you for a second. Yeah, you're good now. We heard you with no separation with the linebackers. Continue.
Yep. So he said you're going to see sometimes Sonny playing the mic and CJ playing the Will and Cody getting the break. And he's going to mix it all up. You're going to see Arvell in there. I remember James Laurinaitis talking about Peyton Pierce, but I'm not sure he's going to get a whole lot of playing time, not meaningful snaps at least. He said Gabe will rotate in as well. So I think it's going to be one of our strengths. The last thing we remember, Sonny, when he came to fit the run stop on Blake Corum, and Blake kind of gave him a little dip to the side and ran it in for the touchdown. So I want to see how he fits his run gaps and if he's going to be patient on the balls of his toes. He kind of got caught flat-footed. And that's what happens when you get caught flat-footed. You get stuck like that. They said CJ Hicks is the best blitzer, though.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. It's funny you say that about Sonny because in one of his interviews, he was asked, what's the biggest thing, right? What's the biggest difference from safety to there? And he said his footwork. right? Being cross safety, you can cross your feet, no problem. Continue to play. You got a lot more time to adjust. He said down there, your first step, you can never get caught crossing your feet, you know, doing anything like that. So he acknowledged the areas he needed to work in and was, and it seems is very purposeful with it. It helps that you got James Laurinaitis teaching you, you know what I mean? You've heard over and over again from these linebackers about how detailed James is in his teaching. And I think it's showing. And I think we're got to see a phenomenal linebacker room this year. Let's head on over to, let's just take the secondary, man. Let's group safeties in.
The whole thing together.
Yeah, safeties in. Obviously, safeties. Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom, you know, all these other podcasts, message boards talked about Lathan Ransom not getting enough credit this year. Downs in his interview said the same thing. He said he's not sure why all the attention's on him. He's got Lathan Ransom right there, who is just an absolute dog and a beast. I know out of all the players on the field, bro, that dude looks, he's ripped. He's jacked, bro.
He is jacked. He's young.
I didn't realize that. I think I saw it on, I think Bryson Rogers does some YouTube thing. Like,
yeah, he does. He
posts videos. And I think I like saw him at the beach or whatever. And I was like, dude, that dude's jacked. You know what I mean? I keep wanting to say no Diddy, but I don't think I should say that live. Right?
It's all right. You can say no Diddy, be free, man. Be you. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, obviously Jim Knowles said it today. I think what snuck up on us that I think in the defensive position, the group that we need to worry about the most, if we need to worry at all, is our depth at safety, right? You know, you got McLean.
Yeah.
You got obviously Hartford. Is that right? Did I say his name right? Why that sounds so weird?
Malik Hartford.
Right. You got Leroy Roker. Those two have, he lost his black stripe. Those two lower recruited as far as rankings, but they have come in and made a little bit of noise back there. But it made me a little nervous today when Knowles got up there and he said, we're up 14. He's still keeping the starters in. I was like, dang, bro.
Well, you got to think about it. 14 isn't that big of a lead. One touchdown. And it's back to a one possession game.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Look who we got in here.
How you doing, Mr. Nolan?
Mr. Nolan, what's up, man?
Yes, sir.
Let's go,
bud. I predicted your son to be the starting QB next year, by the way. I truly feel that.
Hey.
I do want to give this, you know. Yep. And I want to give a shout out to Aaron Scott that lost his black stripe today. That's big time. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the secondary room.
That's the next group. Get rolling with it, man. DBs.
Yeah. So DBs, I think I see Denzel Burt and Jordan Hancock getting a lot of turnovers. I see Iggy being that hard hitter. You know, I think for Iggy's development, and to take it to the next step to be a higher draft pick, I think he needs to work on getting his head around when the ball's in the air. It'll help him in terms of pass interferences, and maybe he could get some picks if he turns his head around. But he likes the face guard a lot, and that could get dangerous. Remember Eli Apple? He was the same exact way, and then when he got to the NFL, it wasn't working. He was getting toasted a lot. It took him a long time to develop that. I got to look back. And he was just getting beat all the time. So I want to see that improve from Iggy. But other than that, I think we have the best three DBs in terms of a group in the country. I think Jordan Hancock is hands down the best nickel in America. I'll die on the hill on that one. I think Denzel Burke is a top three DB. He's not getting enough credit. I think that people have him underrated. But I think this season they're going to improve it and they're going to show. BIA is not a slogan.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I know I picked Iggy to have, I believe, the most interceptions on the team. As far as that wasn't a technique thing for me, I didn't pick that because of like his I picked that because of his like demeanor, the way he approaches the game and his attitude, the attitude he brings to BIA. But obviously, you said it, dude. Jordan Hancock, Denzel Burke. I know Eric, huge fan of Burke. I am as well. I think gonna have a heck of a year. I think the secondary speaks for itself. Like anything we'd be saying has already been repeated. It's never been a question. Our depth, Aaron Scott. You just spoke about him. Our other dude,
Jermaine Matthews.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Who's the other one?
Bryce West.
Calvin Simpson-Hunt.
Calvin Simpson-Hunt.
Yep. I haven't heard too much about Bryce West, man. Honestly, I know I believe he's going to be a dog as well, but just
coming off an injury. I think he had a broken foot when he first got here.
Yeah. All right. Let's address a few things in the chat real fast before we move on. Okay. We got Eric back here. Wants to know who scores the first TD this season for the Buckeyes. I can't remember if Eric asked us that last time on the show. Last time, did we answer that question? No, we had the first rushing touchdown. Gotcha. All right. Mm-hmm. Mello, who scores the first one?
All right, I'm gonna just go ahead.
Don't take my answer, bro.
Optimus Prime, baby.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna do it, man. It's gonna be Will Howard. He's running that thing in for a touchdown first drive.
That's
what's gonna happen. Optimus is gonna catch a pass, get us down to the 2 yard line. Very next play, they're gonna rush the offense. It's gonna be a QB draw right into the end zone. Somebody owes me money if all that actually happens. I don't know who, but I feel like somebody owes me money.
You see Prentice comment?
Yep, that's who I'm getting to next, pulling him up here. Let's see what's going on. Mr. Nolan wants to discuss everyone's predictions for the score on Saturday. All right, so chat, let's get that rolling. What's your thoughts on
the score? So the score is up in the chat.
Some people already have Mecca's got 45-3. Who else is in here? Oh, Bobby thinks that Trey's going to score the first one with a long touchdown run. Jeremy agrees with you. JJ Smith. Emily agrees with Mecca. What did Mecca say? Oh, with the score. Okay, got you there. Sean Trock's got the old 55-0 shutout. I like it. Russ, 56-3. Are they still covering the spread? What's the spread on this game? 50?
50.
55? 50? Troy coming in with the 63-0.
I love that, Troy.
Yeah. Troy.
I think it's going to be, my prediction is 60-3.
You got 60-3. What I'm doing is I'm going over everybody's scores and I'm adding them all up in my head. And when everybody gets done typing, I'm going to take the average and that's going to be my guess. But I'm in a problem right now because right now they're averaging 1.5 points for Akron. So I don't think I can say that. I'm just joking. I'm not that good at math, people. That ain't happening. We got a 63-7. Dude, look at Eric, bro. He's sitting in the background just 66-0.
I don't like the 66.
I don't either, but hey. 55-10. All right. 63-10. Okay. Hey, dude, check this out. This is our boy, Tyler. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. Tyler, if that happens, man, I'm doing a happy dance.
All right, here we go. Mr. Nolan, in with the official. Let's have some fun. I think this is going to be a fantastic season. Let's cherish the moment. I love that, Buckeye fans. Cherish the moment. I mean, that's a life lesson you might want to take back home with you after the show, man. Every life is just comprised of a bunch of moments, man. And God puts moments in front of us. Those moments, how we react to those moments form who we are as people. And I think that I went seriously deep there, but that's what it is. Enjoy the season, man. Rosters like this don't happen much. Yeah, you can think what you want about Ryan Day, but he has done one of his jobs better than any other coach in the nation, and that is give us a roster that can go win a title. So, I mean, he has done that. He's got 48-6. I'm going to be honest, man.
Look at this. That's my brother from the military back in Fort Drum, New York. Man, yeah. he's a huge UGA fan. He likes trolling.
I'm going to go with Akron kicking a field goal fourth quarter, so they're only going to score 3 points.
Right.
And I'm going to give us, 49-3.
So we're not covering the spread?
Nah, I don't think so. And this is why, because I think it's one of those situations. I know that Zach talked about on Minutes of Sports today. When you get a team like this, you never bet that spread because third and fourth quarter, you got a bunch of the, you know, third stringers coming in and kind of slows things down, even though I think our third string could still beat them on their own. But that's just me.
That's what I'm
bullish. Oh, here we go. Jeremy Moreland is extremely confident.
That's a little rich for my blood, Jeremy.
Yeah, look, he's like 125, huh?
Why not?
Yeah.
Man, if they hang 100, man, I think we need to save the 100 game for November 30th.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler put up. Let's hit this real fast. Tyler put up there earlier. He wants to know about special teams. I got your special teams for you right here, dude. Brandon Ennis will be running two punt return backs for TDs this year. Ryan Day said today, you got James Laurinaitis over the kick returns, and you got Matt Guerrieri over the punt returns. Then you got the rest of the coaches, the whole coaching staff involved in it. I love it. He called Tressel for that one. That was the advice Tressel gave him, I believe. That's the way Tressel handled it. Bro, that says a lot about Ryan, too. You know, to call another coach and be like, hey, man, I need your help. What'd you do here? You know, I wasn't in the room when it happened, but yeah, what's that?
Why didn't he call the special teams guru, Urban Meyer? Is it because he fired his son-in-law and made his daughter move across the country?
Maybe.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just saying. No,
bro, you got to put that tinfoil hat on before you say something like that. I'm just joking, bro. No, man. Tyler said earlier that, you know, special teams have been horrendous. Yeah, no, I feel you. But I just think, you know, I think that change right there is going to change special teams. Nick McClarty, official starting punter. Dude can boot it like 90 yards out of a stadium. I've been trying to locate that stadium so I can actually go measure it. I can't find it in the chat. If you know where that was, let me know.
I'll show you.
Oh, that's why I can't find it. I've been staying in the United States. Not smart.
Man, I honestly just want to see us punt one time because I need to see how far he punts it. I just want to witness this, man.
I know.
I've never been so excited for a punter in my life.
Yeah, for real. Hey, that surprised me, dude. I thought the Buffalo kicker was going to come in because, dude, he tore it up last year punting. I thought that was going to be like an easy one. Sean Schrock wants to know why we don't put two back like they used to. I don't got an answer for you, Sean. If I told you something, I would literally just be making something up that I thought sounded smart. Unfortunately, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But, yes. Thanks, Eric, coming in with the save. We're smart now. We got an answer for you. The answer is for max protection. Thank you, Eric. All right, where do we leave off? We hit the safeties, we hit the DBs, we hit the linebackers. D-line. We got one left, D-line, man. This is where my defensive MVP comes in to play. Bro, I think Ty
Leak. Who would that be?
Ty Leak, man. I think Ty Leak is just totally not being talked about enough. Even though he is talked about a lot and it's well known. I mean, I know that several people think, not several, but I do know one mock draft has him going before any Buckeye on the team. Dude, I'm kind of there, man. And here's why, because I went back and I watched this dude's film from last year. I watched his NFL film, and that's, I think it's a YouTube channel called NFL Film, literally, that they break down each individual player in the games. And dude, I went through every one of his games. He's just a tank, bro. And the changes that he has this year kind of went under the radar a little bit, but the dude, I believe he added some weight and some muscle on, dude. And I watching some of the practice footage got of him. I just think he's going to be a train wrecker. I do not think that he's going to get, you know, he's in the D line, bro. An interception is way better than a rushed pass. You know what I'm saying? Well, not better, but it gets way more attention. You know what I mean? If a DB, you know, swats a pass away, it might be on ESPN. If a D lineman rushes a quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Not going to get that much attention, But I think as far as like the core of the defense, who's going to be the most disruptive, who's going to do that, bro, you know, Ty Leak. But our D-line, my opinion, deepest group as far as backup on the team. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that it's hard for D linemen to win MVP. They just don't, they're not in enough plays. That's why I went with Cody Simon, because they're going to be in passing plays. They're going to be in blitz packages where they come up free, because those D linemen are taking on double teams. In terms of the D line itself, I think Jack Sawyer is going to have double digit sacks. I think he's going to be extremely disruptive. I think JT is going to be pushing for double-digit sacks. I think this is the year that Jim Knowles releases our DNs. I think that was part of the conversation to convince JT to come back, is we don't want to keep doing cage rushing. We want to be able to use our moves, especially JT as a nasty spin move. And I want to work on my rushman package. And I think we're going to have a lot of sacks. I think we have the best D-line in America. We have the deepest D-line in America. We have the best secondary in America, as well as the deepest secondary in America. And I think our linebacker is going to step it up to be a top five linebacker group in America. And we're going to have the number one defense total in America. So I'm saying number one total offense, number one total defense. Hasn't been done since 1954 Oklahoma team that won a natty.
Yeah.
They didn't play for one. They were appointed a natty.
Yeah. Donald wants to know if we think they're going to win every game by double digits, or will they have a couple of close games?
I think the closest game is Oregon. And I was at one point thinking 7 points. I think they beat them by 14 plus. I'm on your side now. At first, yeah, I know I wasn't there, but now I am by hearing like Urban Meyer and what he said, because Dan Lanning asked him to go out there. And Urban Meyer on the Triple Option podcast flat out said Dylan Gabriel is not a first or second round draft pick. He's just not. Yeah. And he said Ohio State is the best team he's seen in college football in 10 years, him and Tress. So if you do the deductive reasoning, then you look at DeCorian Moore's commitment speech when he described every team and why they were in the package. And DeCorian said, Ohio State, that's the hardest practice I've ever seen on any of my visits. He said there's zero weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I put that together. I think we're going to – oh, and the last thing, I don't know if you know Malachi Starks, the safety from UGA. He has his own podcast, and they were discussing – they have a transfer from Oregon on their team. And they asked the guy on Oregon, I forget his name, they're like, is this like what you do out in Oregon, the same type of camp? And the guy looked at him with a stale face and said, what? You're right. He was like, we went home early. It was more like a summer camp, a vacation type of thing. So I think all of that, I say all that to say that it's going to catch up to him, and I think we're going to boat race him.
Yeah. So first, I'm going to go back to the D-line real fast.
Yes,
obviously,
sir.
You know, everything you said, love it. I think there is going to be more pressure on the quarterback this year. Jim Knowles said that that's probably going to happen, but his reasoning why was because the secondary – it's just they got another year of experience under their belt. And when they can trust their secondary more like that, they can turn them a little more loose up front. So this is that year for, you know, the first year Jim Knowles came, pressure, right? Had a lot of long plays. They didn't like that. Second year, eliminated the long plays out of the book, but that also eliminated the pressure that they put on the QB. So now, boom, I think that just going to be that mix this year of coming in. I think, you know, Cade McDonald, dude, he has talked about like he could literally be pressing for starting time this year, but you got two beasts in front of you. Jason Moore, he was talked about a lot. He's kind of fell back a little bit as far as people talking about him, but all those. But I want to explain something real fast. I want to explain my reasoning as to why I got Oregon at plus 13, right? Meaning that Ohio State beats them by 14 points. Now, this is my thought, right? Number one, I went back and I watched Oregon's games last year. I watched them play. Now, I know they're a new team this year and all that. But last year, you had Dan Lanning making some questionable calls on, you know, fourth downs, going for it and stuff like that. And then you got him losing to Washington twice last year. And then we saw what happened when Washington faced a team that we almost beat and we should have beat.
We didn't.
And then you bring in this, right? Now, this is where I can be going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it's just where my mind goes. I noticed a pattern this year on a lot of these recruits that Oregon's getting. I noticed a lot of them, they'd like a lot of attention. They like showing their diamond duck. They like showing their brand new blacked out Tesla trucks. They like showing their huge cabins they're living in with pools and all this stuff. They like showing all this stuff, right? And now I know a lot of players like J.J. Smith. I know he's making a crap ton of money, right? But the dude's a dog. He just likes football. So most of the time, you take a young kid, right, that wants to play in the NFL. He's working his butt to get off there. But ask yourself this. Why do they want to play in the NFL? Fame, money, right? Like those are two things that are at the top of the list. A lot of people, there's a lot of other reasons, but this is my reasoning behind it. So what happens when you come to Oregon, right, when they're recruiting him and all this, they give you money, right? They give you more money than anybody else. And then you have that instant fame as far as, aren't they doing that show that, you know, kind of like the Hard Knocks thing? Isn't Oregon doing that?
Yeah.
You know
that
what I mean?
Team Out West. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Now, I like that. I agree with you that Ohio State should do something more like that. But anyway, I have all my reasons as to why, but I just, and you got all these players coming in from the transfer portal. And I believe one of the biggest things for a team, a football team, is to play as one unit. To have the culture of a football team, I believe, is a way bigger deal than a lot of people even talk about. So I question that. That's what I question. I question how much this team, how much Oregon plays as a team. I question how much, you know, their star receiver wants to be in the light versus Oregon being in the light, right? J.J. Smith.
Yeah.
Have we heard him be loud about anything? No. Every time he's talked about it, he's like, the team. I mean, you got all these Ohio State players.
Grind.
That honestly, bro, they could have 15 diamond ducks around their neck, but they don't. Why? They're playing football. Now, I could eat my words here. I'm just explaining my opinion on why I just believe that. Now, I do believe that Oregon down the road, I think they're recruiting at a level where they can, you know, do all this stuff. And do I believe they have a potential national championship roster this year? Yes, I do. I just question how they can play together as a team, the fluidity of the team and the culture behind the team. I don't know that. I could be completely wrong. I'm just going to guess the latter and guess that. That's where they're going to wind up a little short this year. They're going to be messing with some seniors that came back, that got some fire under them. All these videos we see coming out of our team, all the position groups, they're fired up, dude. And the people we brought in from the transfer portal, they're here to play football. They didn't come here for money. Now, did they get paid? 100%, bro. They got that money. Caleb Downs, nobody can question whether he came here for some football. Seth McLaughlin, nobody can question. Will Howard, nobody can question. Will Kazmarek, nobody can question. I'm missing one. Who is it?
Judkins.
Quinshon Judkins. You could have questioned. You could have. But you can't now. The dude came here with Trey Henderson. Why'd he come here? To play football. You know what I mean? So there's my reasoning behind that. But
So that's a valid point that people need to be aware of. The D-line for Oregon, they have 10 either redshirt sophomores or just true sophomores. They're very good, but they're young. And I see them being a challenge for our O-line, but I see our O-line winning that battle.
I do, man. I honestly, what it comes down to is I see Ohio State just being more physical than they are. I see them just shoving them all over the field. I mean, you know, their receivers, our DBs, it's going to be the toughest matchup for our DBs of the year. But I still think we went out there. You know what I mean? I think our D-line is going to smash through their O-line. I just think they're just going to get, you know, physically wrecked. Yeah, that's just what I think, man. So, all right, man. Are we missing anything?
Did one last thing. I want to touch on Lane Kiffin's tweet. Did you see that?
Yeah, bro. Oh, Lane, man. I like Lane, though.
I like him, but like, what's your weird obsession with us? You have a game this week. It's supposedly the SEC is the hardest conference in America. It's making me, he's so obsessed with us. I picked him to win the SEC. I'm starting to have doubts about that. Like, dude, are you not focused on your season? Why are you still talking about how much money we spent in NIL when we brought in 7 players, you brought in over 20? Like, it doesn't matter. It's about the quality, not the quantity. And you're worried about what we spent? How much did you spend on those 20?
Yeah, I know. First off, let's back up as to why that ever even got put out there. I'll never know. But I know our fellow,
I have my suspicion.
I know our fellow podcasters' tinfoil hat reasoning. I'm not going to say that. Mm-hmm. I think he said it maybe on a paid video. Yeah. He might have said it. So if you want to see that, hit the join button, become a member, and go see why our AD decided to put out there that we paid $20 million for our team. But yeah, dude, very interesting as to like, yo, bro, move on, man. So who was it from our team that like that commented on us? Yeah, Jermaine
Matthews. I love him. That's that nasty natty attitude, baby.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Yeah, dude, I'm excited, man. I think that I love Ryan Day in his press conference today. He said, leave no doubt. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. You look at the past, you look at the Georgia game, the Clemson game, some of these games that have just fell short because of one play. Ryan Day said it best when he said, it's kind of like when you're fighting in the UFC, man. You can't be leaving that stuff up to the judges. I know everybody listening to me right now, and I know you too, right. Mello. If you watch UFC, you've seen a fight where you're like, oh, yeah, that dude definitely won. But it comes to the judges' scorecards, and he didn't get the win. It's like, why? So, bro, I love what Ryan Day is preaching this year as far as leave no doubt. And he wants to be the hardest playing football team in the nation. I love it because – last year, at the end of the season, minus the Kyle McCord, I said, dude, I want to see more freaking toughness, bro. I want to see, you know what I mean? Stop leaving this crap up for chance. Do something about it, bro. So I love the message being preached this year. And I think you can, it's visible. It was visible in the winter with some of these workouts and how people change their body. I think Will Howard is just going to blow a lot of people's minds this year. And we all know about the defense. So I'm excited, man. Your closing thoughts, Mello.
My closing thoughts is that everybody cherish the moment, like Mr. Nolan said, and enjoy this natty run. It's going to be a special year. I know I'm going to be at the game this year. A couple of family members going to go up there. Hopefully Dev might be able to make it up there. We might be able to shoot a pod if he comes up there. It's just going to be a special BTA, belt to ass season for everybody we play against. And my last closing thoughts are just keep God first and stay hopeful. If you don't have someone you can lean on, find someone. We're here. You could come over here and talk to us. We'll talk to you. We don't care. We're here for you guys. We're here for the people. And thank you for tuning in and watching and supporting our channel.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Mello said, dude, tomorrow, purpose yourself to find somebody and tell them a message of hope. Tell them something good that has happened in your life. You know what I mean? Words are very powerful, man. So we're all about that here at the Hob Podcast. Buckeye Boys, man, Jesus saved my life. We're all about spreading positivity, spreading the message of good news. You know, so there's bigger things in this world than college football. There's bigger things in this world than our emotions and how we feel. So let's spread some positivity and some hope. We appreciate you watching. Please do not forget to like and to subscribe. Do not forget to hit the comments up after the show with maybe some ideas on what y'all want us to talk about or just your thoughts on this season, man. So we appreciate y'all watching. Can't wait for the next one. We'll be doing this every Tuesday, I believe, at 8:15. We'll also be dropping some pre-recorded shows. Please check that out. Please check out Chris and Eric. I'm sure they'll be dropping some more shows, and they're after or during the game show they're going to be doing. Check that out, Hob Podcast. So doing some big things here, man.
Don't forget the Thursday call-in and sure. the after the game call-in that we're about to be doing. And shout out to my little cousin right there that came into the chat to support. That's my blood cousin. So love you, man. Next time call in on Thursday, he has some thoughts that we need to get him, set him straight.
Hey man, we got our Buckeye Scoop boys in the chat. What's up, Kurt? All right, y'all.
What up, Mr. Kurt? Out.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. We'll see you next time. God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.